they experienced and how they came and how they got up and how God allowed them to, you know, get out of whatever it is that they were in, and how they kept the faith and they struggled and they went. And like all of us, we have our struggles. All of us have things that we struggle with. We all have situations that we deal with. We all have them, but we typically what? We don't talk about them. Amen. So God had laid it on my heart that we was going to do a testimony service. Amen. At the time, I was under the impression, or I was believing, that we would be in a physical location. Amen. But, you know, COVID and some other things that were beyond our control, didn't see it that way. But you know what? This works just as well. Amen. And I've asked our members to be able to testify. And I'm going to ask them, you know, I have, you know, if you don't know, those who are members of our church, most of them have a tendency to get onto the Zoom. So we do several different platforms here at the Safe House Church. We do the Zoom. Then, of course, we send this feed out to Facebook Live and YouTube and all the other channels. Amen on that. So I do have a way to be able to talk to them. I'm not going to bring anybody on camera or whatever, but we will allow them to be able to speak, and we should be able to hear them loud and clear, and them to give the testimony. Amen. And then we ask that, you know, I know you might be short, but I'm asking that if you're a little long-winded, you're not going to go over 5 minutes. Amen. But I want you to testify the goodness of God and some of the things he's done for you. You know, now I want to be clear about it. You know, this was a sacrifice of obedience. Amen. You know, we don't pay God to do anything. God is good to us because he's God like that. But sometimes we, you know, when we need things on, we have to challenge our faith. And sometimes, like, Lord, I need your attention. Sometimes they require sacrifice. Amen. In the Bible, there was oftentimes when they needed to hear from God that they would do what? They would bring a sacrifice. They would kill their best lamb. They would kill their best goat, or they would kill their best bull, and they would sacrifice that to the Lord as a burnt offering. They would put it on the altar. The altar was basically like almost a grill, and they would sit there and they would burn it. And that burning of that carcass would send up what? A smoke signal to heaven that would get God's attention. Oh, come on, somebody. So if you need to get God's attention, you have to be in a place to sacrifice. And the thing is that God knows, and he knew that what? That was a firstborn. And because if they follow the rules and of the Levitical priesthood and how they supposed to have done this sacrifice gets the attention of God. And because it gets the attention of God, he was what? More than apt to hear their story or hear what it is that they need and attend to their needs. Amen. But he always has what? His goodness towards us. But sometimes we get ourselves in places and certain circumstances and situations. So today I wanted to allow our members to be able to testify to you a little bit. And then, and depending on how the Lord lead me, I do have something I believe he wants to give. But it'll be short either way. Amen. And we'll let you all go. So this morning, we're going to start by some of our members testifying here. I have a whole slew of them here in the Zoom on this morning. And if you would like to go first, I ask that you use the raise your hand feature. If you hit the reaction button, and if you hit the reaction button, what you're going to see is there's a place down there that says raise your hand. And if you raise your hand, I'm talking to those on Zoom. If you raise your hand, I will acknowledge you to go, and then you can unmute yourself and just give your testimony. You know, we did this back in October. It was the last week in October, and now things have come full fruition now, and I want you to be able to testify this morning. So who wants to go first? I'm looking here in the chat, you all. Somebody who's raising their hand? Oh, come on now. All right. Okay, I see Sister Pam got her hand up. Sister Pam, go ahead and unmute yourself. If you unmute yourself, we can and you can go ahead and start speaking when you're ready.
Good morning.
Morning. We hear you loud and clear.
Okay, so glad to be with everybody. I'm on the road, but I want to say that in October, Pastor did ask us to do a sacrificial offering, and the key for me was obedience, being obedient. So I laid it at the altar, left it there, thought no more about it, because I was being obedient. Things started happening that I didn't even realize. Number one, I work in a school that was affected, the only school affected by that fire that had to be evacuated, that children had to be displaced. But going back to my earlier statement, in that school, there is such a need. And just in passing, I jokingly said, I'd love to If you need somebody to teach reading, I'm your girl. Kept on going, didn't think anything about it. Toward Thanksgiving, the principal says, comes to me, hunted me down, and says, Miss Hicks, I got that job for you. And I'm standing there like a deer in headlights thinking, uh-oh, what job? What job you talking about? And she said, you have a job you wanted. You said, she said, that money came through and I made sure that you got the job. Because we need you to do that. So I am now in a new position that she fought for and made happen.
Amen.
I booked unexpected checks in the mail. Had no idea. You know how sometimes you I don't know, for some of you, there was a bank called or a loan institution called Countrywide years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody bought them out, but they were under a suit.
Mm-hmm.
And because my husband and I had our first mortgage under Countrywide, we were part of that suit. And you know how you just say, oh, okay, well, you know, you probably get $10, $12, if you get anything. Didn't even think about it. Lo and behold, unexpected check in the mail. Unexpected check in the mail. Did not expect it. It was more than I thought I would ever get because that was a huge suit. And I give God the glory and the praise. But the key is being obedient.
Amen.
That's the key. And leaving it at the altar. Don't pick it back up. And the key is to say, Lord, I trust you with this. This is for you. And that's what you have to do. It worked for me. And I'm still expecting, blessings are still going to come because of that sacrificial offering. So I thank you, Pastor, for God working through you. And I thank you for what you're doing in Safe House Church. And I thank you for the growth that we see every day. And I thank you for your commitment and your diligence. And I just want to say to everyone that obedience is the key.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Pam, for that. So, you know, we used to have this decree that we do before our offering and stuff where we used to say, you know, we would get bonuses and checks in the mail and unexpected bonuses and things like that. You think about it. Something that happened almost now, I'm thinking about the Countrywide. That was almost 5-10 years ago. She's still getting blessings from that. Then unexpected job, you know, she was there doing her thing. And then what happened? God opened up that door and put her on the heart. That lady had to what fight for her to get that job. God, the Bible says like that. He said, press down, shaking together. He said, good measure, press down, shaking together, running over that what men should give unto your bosoms. You thinking this stuff is going to fall out the sky, it's going to just fall from heaven. But no, God will allow them to give unto you. That is a prime example of it right there. Who's next? Somebody else. Let me see your hand up so I can go ahead and acknowledge you. There's others. There's many of you all in here now. All of you did it. So I've told you, I gave you fair warning that this was coming. Come on, somebody. Who's next? Who's next? Who's testifying? All right. So Sister Jordan, you can go ahead and unmute yourself.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Good morning, everyone, and praise the Lord. My family and I are actually, in South Carolina still. First, I'd like to say thank you to the Safe House and the members of the Safe House for being so supportive and loving, and your prayers are appreciated in the loss of my uncle. We are still with my parents on this morning, but we wanted to, of course, tune in because we have that opportunity since we're still online and we want to make sure that we remain faithful. So we praise God for being here on this morning and wanted to be able to participate and on the testimony service. But I'll be brief. We've been blessed time and time again, over and over and over, but particularly after the sacrificial offering, like Sister Pam said, in obedience, we immediately saw results. We can testify from that point up until today of the number of just financial blessings God has blessed my husband and I with. From giving us things free that cost hundreds and hundreds of dollars to, wow, you know, during the pandemic, God, you know, with even with the purchase of items like cars and things like that, you know, people are like, it costs too much and things like that. But, you know, and they say you can't get anything at a bargain or a deal. And we've had the opportunity not even having to negotiate things that people just,
my God,
you know, write the number down. And it's a number that people say you can't have. And we've had it. God has granted us those things. So that's just a blessing within itself. So God has financially blessed our household even more so than he had even before the pandemic had started. And I'm so grateful for that. But the one thing that I wanted to testify specifically was about, I'm reminded of the scripture that says in Genesis, is there anything too hard for God? Was the question that was asked. And we know that even in the New Testament, it says nothing is too hard because he can do the impossible. When God says that, when man says the impossible can't be done, we know that we serve a God that can do the impossible. And many of you know that my son requires healthcare workers in our home so my Alex and I can work full time. And we have amazing nurses during the daytime, but Sean requires, you know, some care even at night. And at the last couple of years, we had a great night nurse. And right before the pandemic, she decided that she wanted to relocate back to Delaware, closer to her family. And, you know, with the pandemic, we know that if we have friends or families that are in the healthcare field, that they're being stretched beyond measure. And so home health care has suffered as a result of that. And we haven't, they kept telling us that, you know, we are so sorry. You guys are such a loving family. And we know people love to be out there, but night nurses are very difficult to come by. And Ms. Jordan, we just can't find anybody. So I have to testify that God has sustained me through that time where somehow, you know, I have this almost supernatural strength to just get up when I open my eyes. I struggle a little bit, and then all of a sudden, I just have this burst of energy from nowhere, and I'm just getting one thing after another done. But in any case, after the sacrificial offering, I had been doing that for almost a year and a half where I didn't have any help in the home at nighttime and waking up with him. And like I said, they kept telling me over and over again, you know, there's no one that we have. There are no night nurses. It's almost impossible to get anyone. And we had a nurse come on temporarily week to week, and she would work one to 2 days. And she's like, Shauna, I'll help you as much as I can because I work full time during the week. And you guys are such a special family, but this is as much as I can do. But not knowing that God had put her there, well, she could train the next person to come on. And sure enough, as soon as she started, probably 3 weeks after that, they said, oh, we found somebody who can help you, but we need somebody to train. They were like, well, we'll just send her on the night that the temporary nurse is there. And sure enough, she started training. And that after one night, she said, I love it. She was like, if I could leave my other case, I would. And I'm like, no.
Wow. Can't do
that. But she was like, well, they're going to keep me over there part-time. But, you know, during the week is when we really need to cover so that we have the strength and the energy to go through our day, Monday through Friday. But the nurse came on, and I'm so thankful because now she's willing to work 5 to 6 days a week and sometimes on the weekends. And I just praise God for that. And then she comes in, and I haven't had a detailed conversation with her, but I believe that she's a believer because even on December 31st, she said, I might not come because I got watch night service. And then she said, no, I think I'm going to watch night service while I'm sitting here with Sean. So I just praise God because when they said that there was no one, God sent someone. So when things seem as if that, you know, the world may say one thing and God will present that ram in the bush because he will make sure that his people are taken care of. So I praise God because now I have the help that I need to do what I need to do going forward. There are other families who are seeking coverage and things like that. So I keep them in prayer because I know what it feels like not to have the help you need. But I just praise God that since that sacrificial offering, God has just again blessed my family exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And I give praise because he is the one true God. And I thank God for the safe house. And I thank God for Sister Felicia Ely, as well as you, Pastor Peter, for leading God's people forward. And I, even though we're online this morning, I know that God has great things in store for us.
Even as we stand in faithfulness, Amen. That we find our physical location, that we will be busting at the seam, because we will be in a place where we know that we are at about God's business, and that we are about being kingdom minded and kingdom builders. And I praise God for that on this morning. You pray my strength through the Lord.
Amen. Amen. That's prophetess right there. Amen. We claiming that right now in the name of Jesus. And when God has just been so good to us, you all, I mean, I know we have never had this before. This is the first time we ever done this. But, you know, that point in time, God has just been changing and opening doors. And I want individuals to understand the Bible said that we overcome by the power of our testimony, that we grow from each other, that iron sharpens iron. And when we listen to one another's testimony, what it does, it gives you hope and faith to say, you know what? Mine is coming. Mine is coming. If it's not already happened to you, that it's on the way. You know, as the next person, go ahead and raise your hand. I'm going to acknowledge you. I'll give a quick little burst in between this while we're waiting for one of you all to raise your hand or give me an emoji or something up here so I know you're ready. But in between that, you know, I had a friend of mine who called me, and we've been talking about this student loan situation. And a friend of mine, you know, she was talking about how much, you know, it was killing her, and she was a believer, and she was doing everything she could, and she was taking care of her mom. And she gave me a call about a week ago and called and tell me, she said, Peter, that they forgave $120,000 worth of student loan. Come on, somebody. $120,000 worth of student loan that she got forgiven. They sent her and said she did not owe a dime. I don't know about you, but I know mine is coming. I borrowed the money. There's no question about it. I couldn't do what I do without it. But you know what? God, sometimes the Bible talks about a year of Jubilee. That in the year of Jubilee, that all debts are forgiven. Come on, somebody. And then he would turn this over. So I believe that he's doing this for his people. He's doing this for his believers. Amen. He's continuing to open up doors for us. And the reason I share that testimony, her testimony on that, why? Because he can do it for you. That, you know, you do what you're supposed to do and God will take care of the rest. You see how you not see the little line that's going under these testimonies is that, you know, that he touched somebody's heart. He touched the lady's heart at Sister Pam's job. He touched the nurse's heart, and he touched these people to give you favor. Favor is about access. Amen. Amen. Who's next? Who's next? Come on. I know some more of you all out here that want to testify. Who's next? Come on. Don't make me call on somebody like we in school now. Who's next? Okay. I see Sister Taylor hand. Oh, Taylor, go ahead and unmute yourself and come on. We can hear you.
Hey, everyone.
Good morning.
I guess the testimony that I have as a teacher, you guys know we probably don't get paid a lot. But recently, I think in January and December, we got two bonuses.
Hallelujah.
And it's been a major blessing. And I think we're looking at getting retro pay. They finally approved a budget for us. So
hallelujah.
That has been a major blessing for our family.
Amen. Amen. And this is, Safe House Church, we ain't a bunch of old folk over here. God gave us some young believers. Amen. And Sister Taylor and her family, they have a young family. Her and her husband got married, came in here, our church, and they got married and they have a beautiful baby boy. And God's just been opening up doors for them and blessing them. That the devil ain't got everybody. See, some people are like, you think that the devil got everybody, but the devil ain't got everybody. There are some young people out here striving, living for the Lord. They're not perfect. We're not perfect. None of us are perfect. If you're looking for a perfect church, the Safe House ain't where you want to be. But if you want a place that you're going to be pushed to be the best that God has called you to be, you're going to be challenged to be better, and that you're going to grow, you're going to scratch, that is the Safe House Church. That, you know, we take care of one another, but we also believe in this thing, and we believe this wholeheartedly. You know, they'll tell you, Peter, don't take anything from the Safe House Church. In fact, I give. And that's why God continues to give to me. Because I tell people like this, I said, when God need a raise, he know who to give it to. See, you want raises and you want these kind of things. And we're not just talking about money today, but we're talking about things. God has kept us in health. You know, half of our folk here are teachers, and they in these schools with coronavirus and all kinds of stuff. And God has kept them, and we have not lost anybody. Nobody's lost their life. From my understanding, nobody's even had to go to the hospital. And that is a blessing in itself. Amen. We talking about people, you know, our teachers who hadn't been getting bonuses, now God is opening up things for them, and they starting tutoring businesses and entrepreneurships and all kinds of stuff. God said, well, he'll give you what? He'll give you the wisdom to get wealth. And that little bit that you have, well, he'll take that and he'll multiply it. I remember starting out as a school teacher myself, that he'll take that and what? And he multiplied it. And my house never went without. We're going to go right on next. Sister Carolyn, I see you got your hand up. Go ahead and unmute yourself. Tell the people about the goodness of the Lord.
Can everybody hear me?
Absolutely, loud and clear.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everybody, praise the Lord. And Pastor Billy, I want to thank you for allowing us this morning to give our testimony. Now, mine may take over a little bit, 5 minutes, but I'm going to apologize. But this is
go the ahead. Glory
of God is speaking through me. Amen, amen. But I want to start out, you all. The summer of 1999, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I was praising the Lord, living right, doing everything that I thought was right. And then one day in 1999, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And of course, I was afraid. I didn't know what to do. But someone gave me a book, and you all probably heard of it, by Dottie Osteen. It's called Healed of Cancer. It has 40 healing scriptures. And I'm going to tell you, I needed spiritual and physical healing. I read those scriptures every day. I didn't feel like it, but I still read them because, like Pam said, you have to be obedient. And so I'm going to move on to the summer of 2015, 15 years later, I was diagnosed again with breast cancer. Mm. And also, I needed knee surgery because I used to be a gym rat. I may not look like it now, but I hurt my knee in the gym. And also, this was a very aggressive form of breast cancer. Mm. And I was diagnosed in June, but they didn't even start the lumpectomy until August. Now, so I had the knee surgery. And I was in physical therapy, and they started the chemo treatment. Mm. Now, chemo treatment is a drug to stop the growth of cancer cells, either by killing the cells or by stopping them from dividing. Mm-hmm. I had 6 treatments, but I was supposed to have 8. A cyst formed on my spine, and so on top of chemo, I had back surgery.
Oh, wow.
So they stopped the chemo so I could have a back surgery, but in the process of that, I developed neuropathy in my fingers and in my hands, and then I had to walk with a cane. Hmm. Okay? But one day, I hated that cane. I hated it. One day, I was walking across the office, and I forgot my cane in my office. I was walking across the office, and I forgot the cane in my physical office. And by the time I got to my coworker, I started to cry because guess what? God healed me instantly. I didn't need that cane anymore.
Amen.
Okay. Now, the summer of 2020, breast cancer came again. Okay. Mm. And then I was diagnosed with alopecia. Now, ladies, we know we love our hair. We can cut it. We can color it, we can wear braids, we can lock it, we can shave it, we can even buy wigs and get extensions. So therefore, I'm not defeated, okay?
Amen.
So I had a double mastectomy and reconstruction. Double mastectomy is when both breasts are surgically removed. And then, like I said, I had the breast reconstruction. Mm-hmm. For those of you who do not know, your health insurance plan will cover breast reconstruction. Now, so many people really don't know that. Mm-hmm. The Women's Health and Cancer Rights Act of 1998 requires all group health plans that pay for a mastectomy to also cover prostheses and reconstruction procedure. Now, your Medicare covers breast reconstruction, while Medicaid coverage can vary from state to state. Ladies, I just want to say to you and men, please do your monthly examination. It's very important. If something doesn't feel right, contact your doctor. Now, although it is rare, men can get breast cancer also. Breast cancer is the most often found in women, but men can get breast cancer too. About 1 out of every 100 breast cancer diagnosis in the United States is found in men. Okay. Now, in closing, I just want to say God is faithful and a healer. I'm living proof, and I'm still standing on the word of God. You know, we sometimes want to fight our own battles, but let God fight our battles for us. Let God have his way. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. That power, that testimony. See, when you live that thing times 3, you know, how many of you know, I couldn't even fathom, you know, a lot of people even going through it one time, but to go through it three times. I know there's some of my friends, and I hope that they get a chance to go back and listen to the podcast, or people I associate with, or people I went to high school. A lot of people are like around my age right now have been coming down with breast cancer. But see, her story would give the power to somebody else. Do y'all see how this thing worked? That God saved her not one time, but three times. I know some of them need hope. Some of them been going through, and I've seen that their struggle, but God has saved her what? Three different times that he saved her. So I want that to be life to somebody else, that what? You can make it. This is not a death sentence. This is not the end of it, but God is what? He's good, and he will what? He will take care of you. Amen. I want to acknowledge Sister, I guess the Haywood, want to be able to speak here. Come on, unmute yourself and give your testimony. This is good, y'all.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Scripture says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. I am thankful on today, even for the praises and the testimonies that have already gone up. And Sister Carolyn went, you know, ways back. So I'm going to start there. God, there's nothing too hard for God to do. He is a God of impossibilities.
Mm.
And of course, the Jordans is my family. And everyone knows on this line that about Sean, how but God prepared me before Sean got here. After putting in 40 years with the educational system, that August leading up to my 40th year, he dropped in my heart, this is the time. I put in my, talked to my superintendent and told him that I would be leaving at the end of the school year. He says, well, I'm not going to accept that yet. I'm going to allow you to just wait and then come back to me. Went back to him. The Lord had already put it in my heart. I left July of 2015. Sean came here August of 2015. Needless to say, I was up and down the road, and all that time, not knowing there was something going on with my heart. Anyhow, the day that the doctors had started trying to figure out what was going on, because I'm an individual who's always exercised and tried to eat decent. The doctor worked with me, finally told me, after sending me to the cardiologist once, sending me back, they told me that they were going to do a cath. They did it. I'm planning on going to Sean because he had an upcoming appointment. Went to the hospital. They did the cath. I stayed in the hospital, couldn't leave. That was on Tuesday. Thursday, I'm going in for surgery, heart surgery. They told my husband, three blockages, came back to him, four blockages.
Oh, my.
Came back. Five blockages.
Oh my.
But God took me through it. The recuperation time was not an extended time. I left the hospital, came home, the nurses came, started exercising. I was back on the go. Saints of God, during the time that I was going back and forth with Sean, God gave me strength. Never feeling tired, rejoicing with that trip about 3 hours, but never feeling tired. But God intervened so many times, and I said, God, you are just an awesome God. But even recently, saints of God, my husband lost his brother on this past week, on Wednesday, day before my birthday. Hallelujah. God has made a way for us over, I don't know, 20 years ago, almost 20 years, took out a very small policy on this brother, not knowing, oh my God, that we would need it this past week. But you know, it wasn't enough to take care of the expenses. But saints of God, hallelujah, Lord Jesus, the money from the insurance, money that God blessed my husband and I with, we put it there. And a young lady who's a part of, a young lady that he helped raise, gave the rest of the money.
Oh, wow.
We left out of the meeting with a zero balance. Brother Alex says, you're still going to get a double blessing. That money that you have paid out of your pocket, you're going to receive it plus. Saints of God, We've already more than enough money to replace the cash that we had to put out. Won't he do it? Even during bereavement, God is still blessing. And one of the sisters said earlier, obedience. My husband and I, we try to be obedient to the word of God, to obey those that have the rule over us. We are givers and not takers, and God is just working things out. We're just seeing the glory of the Lord being revealed in our life. We're seeing favor. They said favor is not fair, but when God gives you favor, there is nothing like it. You all pray for us. We've got church service this morning at 11 o'clock, but I can always chime in for Safe House. Hallelujah. Praying for Safe House.
Thank you.
This morning and going back down to our hometown for the homegoing service. God is good. He is good. He's better than good. God is good and greatly to be praised.
Come on.
For us.
Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all, I try to tell you all, you can't be God-given no matter how hard you try. God has always shown himself faithful no matter what the enemy decides to do, that God has a way, and he has a way that he turns around, what, for our good. And I'm just here to tell you, I hope that, you know, our new and young believers, that this thing is just not for show. This is how we live. And the Bible said that we live by faith. And, you know, they did what they did. Amen. God had already made some provision for that. And then what did he do? Come back. Brother Alex spoke the word double harvest, what we've been preaching here all year long since October. It was in October. And then, you know what? I'll go ahead and tell it. They might not tell it. They're not even members of our church, but they sacrificed it. I saw it in the record. They sacrificed it. We were pulling records together for our tax season, but they sacrificed it in October. And I look at God. He knew what they were going to need before they needed. See, God knows. He said, I know the plans that I have for you to prosper you and for you to have good success, that he knows it before it even comes, y'all. And again, time and time again. So what? Obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. So what? Be obedient. And if you're obedient to him, what is he doing? He's leading and guiding you so that when the time comes that you are right in the way of the windfall, you're seeing that time and time and time again, that God has already set up things before it goes. Let me go on and get somebody else in here and let them testify before I start testifying. But I don't know about you all, but this is good to me. This is good to me because this is encouraging my soul too. Because sometimes I get down and sometimes I'm like, Lord, is this working, Lord? Is it going through, Lord? But he is showing me today and reminding me today that it's through his people that God is blessing his people, that these things are being rooted and grounded. And Safe House Church, we're going to get there. We're not there yet, but we're going to get there. Sister Williams, go ahead. Brother Williams, I see it's the Williams family. You can go ahead and mute yourself. You have the floor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Brother Wills, we can hear you loud and clear. Go for it.
Yes, give honor to God. Like I say, God has been exceedingly good to us. We have a son that's in college. God has been covering our son.
Amen.
He's been COVID-free.
Amen.
As far as he hadn't been sick, hadn't been to the hospital. God has continued to bless us. And I just want everybody to know that through that testimony this morning, but you know, God is working and God is moving. But here's one thing too, and I do know that we're continuing to stand. We have patience, and God is working on faith for some of the things that we still are waiting to come.
Mm-hmm.
And we're standing, and we know that he's working on these issues. We're just giving God the credit and just thanking now and praising him for his greatness and his goodness and how he's blessing everybody, continue to bless us too. So I just want to say God is good. We love everybody, and we just keep the faith and stand. Thank you.
Amen. God is doing. I know he cut his testimony a little short. I know he could have said more, but God has just been so good. And I'm just grateful how God has even brought them to us. Amen. And they just been so faithful. Every time we own in the morning and we praying, they're the Williams family. When we at Bible study, they were the Williams family. God, he will honor your faithfulness. And he's going to make sure that they have each and everything that they need. And their family would not go without lack. Amen. I see another hand here. I told y'all the Safe House Church, just because they ain't on Facebook don't mean we ain't here. We got a whole church over here. This Facebook, this is for everybody else to share that with the goodness of the Lord. But we got a full church going on over here. Amen. So this is, And this is, I want to tell this story real quickly that I'm going to, next is Sister Webb. Sister Webb is a member of the Safe House Church, but she lives in Houston, Texas. Yeah, she lives in Texas. So, and she's connected with us and been here with us. We've known her for some while, and she's just been, God has just been so good to us and blessed us with her. And she has so many talents and so many different things. You all, you're talking about on fire for God, balling energy. Our prayer room is full. You know, Texas for her, where she at in Houston, out that way is an hour behind us. So at her house right now, where it's 10 here, it's 9 o'clock there. Amen. So when we get on in the morning and pray, we pray at 6, but it's 5 o'clock for them. We pray at 6 o'clock, but it's 5 o'clock, and Sister Sherelle has been witnessing. And you know what? We had seven or eight people that I've never met at all that are friends of hers that come, or people that she's associated with that come to our prayer group, and they come faithfully. God is doing something. You know, he said he has no respect the person that he's not locked down. God's spirit moves all everywhere. Amen. And he's opened up doors, and I'm going to shut up, and I'm going to let Sister Sherelle give her testimony on today. Sister Rael, you can go ahead and unmute yourself. The floor is yours.
Good morning, everyone. Pastor Ely, don't make me cry this morning. I said I was not going to cry. So hello and good morning to each and every one of you. Many of you know that I am an educator by trade. Pastor Ely is always talking about that we have a congregation full of educators, and I am blessed to be one of them. But I also want to give Sister Hicks her flowers now. I want to say that our women at the well.
It's all right. It's all right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's gonna make me cry.
Thank you. I want to say thank you because Jesus. Many of you know or may not know that I desire to go into entrepreneurship. And the books that we have been reading, excuse me, let me propose this.
No, you're fine.
The books that we have been reading, mm-hmm. which are Successful Women of the Bible, and there is a book titled Seasons of a Woman's Life by Lotus Evans. My desire to go into entrepreneurship is foreign to many because they're like, oh, Sherelle, you have this, you know, this job that far exceeds the expectations that others will have for you. And so for me, entrepreneurship is a mandatory journey to take because my job experience has made me realize that, you know what, working for others is no longer a life suited for me. And a fire in my heart tells me that my purpose in this world surpasses the reality of just being somebody's employee. So what I've learned being a member of State House is that we believe that once you partner with God, you can be the architect of your destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And so by owning a business gives me no limitations on the profits and the opportunities I will expose my community to. See, I'm sitting here in tears because the business or the nonprofit that I've been managing,
mm-hmm.
and not only will it gives me great joy and fulfillment, but it replaces the salary that I'm making on my job.
My God.
When you talk about a double harvest, my boss looked at me and told me, oh, Sherelle, she saw my vision for it. It was behind me one day while we were in the room, and she said, well, one of the things on there is like a six-figure earner. And she told me when she was in a meeting with me by myself, she said, well, you know, I don't even make that. And I'm thinking to myself, that's not even about you. But the time has come where this business that I've started not only fulfills me, but also replaces what they could ever thinking about giving me.
My goodness, the double harvest. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, and we ask right now, Lord Jesus, that you put our hands, oh God, whatever she put her hands to, Lord, that it prosper, oh God. Lord, that it runs over, oh God, the overflow, oh God. Lord, that others will reap from that harvest, oh God, that others will reap from that corner, oh God. Lord, that spirit of your joy and your anointing, oh God, be infectious, oh God. Lord, that it permeates the atmosphere, oh God, that it inspires people, oh God. Lord, that she evangelized to your people, oh God, Lord, just by her life, oh Lord. And we thank you. Hallelujah. It ain't over yet. You just starting. You are just starting, Sister Sherelle. You are just starting. You just don't know. You know, see, if y'all ever get to meet this young lady, believe it or not, I met Sherelle almost 5 or 6 years ago at a math conference. See, you never know who's watching. You never know how God is going to use you. I was here doing my secular job. And see, you know, I told you all a little bit, you know, and I got another one here that's coming, that I struggle with trying to be the professor and being the pastor. And God had to get on me and say, no, you're my man 24/7, 365. You live in that, you walk in that, you take the lumps with it, but I got you. And I started to walk in that. And I remember I gave a talk and Sister Sherelle came up to me after I did my secular mathematics talk. And we began to talk. I met her when I was down in Alabama. See, God will take you places and put you in places and you never know why you connect. And I just remember it was something about her. We just connected and we all went to lunch together and just had a good time. And I kind of just kind of forgot. And I can't remember how she came back and we reconnected again. And next thing I know, she's here. She's been falling and just started coming. And then asked, she said, do you think I can be a member from Texas? I'm like, absolutely. You know, during the pandemic, God was expanding our territory and enlarging us. And now to the point, you know, and then her husband and the beautiful son and daughter she has. And God is just doing it for his people. Amen. I tell people when God needs a raise, he gives it to us so he can raise himself. Because he knows that everything I got, I say, Lord, this is your 10%. Lord, this is my offering and my sacrifice to you, Lord, that you continue. I just don't do it just for that. I do it out of obedience because he says we're required to do it out of obedience. And then after that, he does other things. All right, next one. First Lady want to talk to you all. I thought she was going to be mute today, but come on, First Lady. Go ahead and unmute yourself and the floor is yours.
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay, praise the Lord, everybody. I just first want to honor God with all this within me. I'm just overwhelmed. I'm trying to keep myself together because all of the testimonies, everything that I've heard this morning has blessed my soul. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit out of breath. I ran up the stairs to try to escape the madness going on downstairs. But I just truly want to honor God and just thank God for him being a keeper. There's so many things I could just talk on and talk about, you know, with me, with Pastor Peter. And we're just so grateful. I am so grateful because there were times, you know, when we stepped out on faith to start this ministry, we felt like, okay, we're stepping out and it's a big step. And it's like a lot of churches, they go out and they get help and they have help from other people. But we stepped out on faith with us just being a young family and our young kids and things, you know, happening and transitions going on, but I.
Whew. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
There have been some long nights. There have been some sleepless nights. And some tribulations. But my God has been faithful. Thank you, Father. He has been faithful through them all. And I want to encourage everyone and anyone that's going through night times and seasons in their lives, high times and just silent times, God is still there. He is faithful. He is going to keep you. He will keep you in a sane mind. He will keep you at peace. He will just keep you physically. I just reflect on times, maybe the last past year, I was having problems with my back. I couldn't sleep in the bed. It was hurting me so bad. And, you know, I just didn't understand why it was going on. And I remember, you know, the Safe House family praying for me and, you know, just keeping me in prayer. And I think, and I just thank God because he has healed my body. And I know we were talking about double harvest, but I had multiple things going on in my body. I didn't share a lot of them, but I just thank God. I just thank God because I know him to be a healer. Hallelujah. I thank God for being my healer. I had problems with my neck. Hallelujah. I had problems with my shoulders. I had problems in my legs and things, but God has healed me today. I am pain free. Hallelujah. And I give God all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. I just thank God because he has kept me in my mind. Some long time ago, I had a bout of depression, and anybody who has gone through depression knows that, yes, you know, you have high times, but every once in a while it tries to creep up on you throughout life situations and circumstances. But I just thank God that he has kept me. And so this morning, my testimony, hallelujah, is that he is a keeper and he is faithful. Anybody that knows me, that my little saying, I have a ring with it that I wear on my finger that says, God is faithful. And he is so faithful. He will keep you. He will bless you. He will hold you. He'll walk with you. He will talk with you. He'll supply all your needs according to his riches. So those who have dreams, keep dreaming. For those of you who have hopes and things and aspirations, keep going. For those of you who feel like you're lost and maybe you're alone, yes, keep holding on. For those of you who need healing in your body, keep asking God, heal my body and walk in faith, and he will do it. He is not a liar. He will not come short of his word. He will do just what he said he will do, because God is a faithful God. Hallelujah. I thank you, God, for all that he's doing for us and our family. I thank you, Lord, because with Madison, as most of you may know, Madison has autism, but she's high functioning autism, and every day different challenges come. But I thank God that the most thing of all is that she loves God and she loves to worship. Hallelujah. And I thank God because even in that worship, even in that praise, even her being curious about the works of God, God is going to heal and take her, God. And I thank you. I thank you, God, for just covering our family. I just think it's so many things about Jesus Christ that I love and I honor. And I just want to just today to say thank you, God, for just giving me the strength and the power and the ability, because years ago I couldn't stand and do this. I'm behind the screen now, but I just, you know, I don't like being out front, but I cannot sit back. I was picking the pastor this morning. I was like, I ain't getting up there talking because I'm not going to get out there and talk a lot, but I can feel God pushing me to the front. And y'all, pray my strength, hallelujah, because for God I live, for God I die, and I'm pressed toward the mark, hallelujah. And I just give God all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, because God, he has been so good to me. And I thank you, in Jesus' name, be blessed, saints, and I love you.
Whew, y'all, this has been, man. Y'all don't know how overwhelmed I am. I'm going to give my brief testimony. I get one scripture and we're going to get out of here, because God has already done the work and I dare not touch it, because I just want you to marinate in the things that, you know, you don't know what's going on with your brother and sister and what's been going on with them and what they've been going through and how God has just blessed them. And I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 15:1. Man, this has been powerful. 15:1-3, and then I'm going to give my testimony and we're done. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand. All of you all are standing in this gospel, by which ye also are saved. If you keep in memory what we did today, you brought those memories back. Memory what I preached unto you. Unless ye have believed in vain, for I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. So what is he's saying here? It's simply this: be reminded of what he's done. Now watch this. Last piece, Ephesians 2:8-9. It says, for by grace are ye saved. It's nothing. It's not because we did, but it was just out of obedience, because we're saved by his grace. Nothing I've done, by his grace. For by grace ye are saved through faith. and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What are we boasting today? We boasting in the Lord. When you hear these testimonies, we're boasting in the Lord. Let me give y'all my quick testimony and we're going to get out of here. See, what many of you all don't know, I work 100 miles away. It's 100 miles each way. And I, you know, God opened up a door and made me and see. What you don't know is, you know, I applied to be this associate dean, the associate dean job at my job. And to be honest, they did not give me the job at first. They did not give me the job. And I remember telling my wife, I remember I had a dream. And sometimes when God deal with me in dreams like that, they just seem like real, almost like a vision or a trance. And I remember he said, oh, you are the associate dean. And this thing, this happened back in June. And you know, with so many things going on and people fighting against me, you know, I always tell people, you know, if I had enemies, I didn't know I had them. Because I truly don't. I mean, I try to love everybody. Don't mean I get along with everybody. I mean, I have people I disagree with too, but I do not, you know, intentionally treat anybody wrong. And if I did, I go back and I try to get that fixed. And it was just, everything was coming against me. You know, in my mind, it's like, Lord, I paid my dues. I've done everything they asked me to do. I jumped through all the hoops and I did all this stuff. And it looked like it was done. I had gotten word, you know, I heard through the grapevine that they had hired somebody else. And I was sick. I was like, man, what else do I have to do? But the Bible reminds us that what promotion doesn't come from the east, the west, the north, or the south, but that promotion comes from God. So at this time, you know, I didn't know what was going to go on. And I knew that, you know, now they had offered this job to another lady. And they said she had come to campus and she had walked around the campus. And now she had met people and all this and that. And I'm thinking, okay, this is done. But I'm like, God, but why did you show me that? Because God, when you show me things like that, because you've done it before. See, that memory. When you've done this before, Lord, it always worked out like you said. But here I am. I'm thinking, well, God, well, maybe that means that maybe it's just going to come down the road. Or maybe something else. Maybe I heard you wrong. Maybe I ate Burger King before I went to bed or something. So a little time goes on. And watch this. Sister Carolyn, I'm going to put her on the spot. Sister Carolyn, the one who was talking about her cancer. Sister Carolyn called me. I was out fishing. Y'all know me. I fish. That's what I do. And I was out fishing. I was in the middle of about 25, 30 foot of water. And I saw my phone ring and she called me and it was in the middle of the day. So I was worried that something was going on. And she was calling me, testifying and telling me some things that God had did for her on her job. And she wanted to encourage me. See, sometimes y'all don't, that's why I tell you, I'm a pastor. I'm not unapproachable. I got my situation just like you got your situations. But God had led Sister Carolyn. Y'all know I love that lady. That's my girl. Y'all mess with her, you're going to have to come get me because I'm going to be locked up somewhere because that's my lady. And she had called me and for a whole hour, sitting right there in the middle of the lake, I'm listening to her on the phone. And, you know, I'm not catching any fish. I'm listening to her on the phone. And she was telling me about, you know, her job situation and what she had gone through and the things. And she was like, just hold on. It's going to be all right. God got something else for you. And, you know, people tell you that and, you believe it. But sometimes you believe it in vain because you're like, yeah, I know they mean good and they mean that. But you don't accept it because you know you want what you want. How many of you know you want what you want? And then that, you know, I listened to what she said and sure enough, about maybe a week or so passed by. And I think my wife and I, we were preparing to go on vacation. Hadn't been on vacation because of COVID. We were preparing to go down to Hilton Head and enjoy a couple of days with the family. And I got a call from my then boss. And she called and she offered me that job. She offered me that job. So, okay, now I'm excited about the job. But then came the salary part. I knew that job typically came with a certain salary. And they didn't want to give me that salary. And on top of that, so I'm like, okay, not only am I going to have to do this work, but now I'm not going to get the salary. And it was a significant amount of work. So, you know, I went on and took that job in faith. I said, okay, God, well, it is what it is. Lord, you know, and we're going to go on. You know, so I went on and we're doing the work. And it's just been one thing after another. You all know, those who've been on the prayer know sometimes Pastor got on the prayer and he was just so tired. Why? Because I was up 2-3 o'clock in the morning trying to get this work done because we were behind on a lot of stuff. A lot of big reports had to be done. If you know anything about my university, we've gone through major leadership change from the top to the bottom. Amen. And all these things have come. And then comes a time after all this, we're getting this work done. Word is on the street that my boss is going to retire. So my boss is going to retire, and of course now she's going to retire. Everybody's, you know, seeing, you know, whispers are going around that, well, oh, you're going to get promoted, or at least you'll be the interim. And, you know, and it's hard to deny those things because, you know, I knew I was in position. I knew I had the experience and everything. So I'm thinking, okay, but you know, I'm not taking anything for granted because I've seen rugs pulled from under me before. Mm-hmm, I have. And some of you have too. So I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, okay, God, well, you know, it is what it is. I'm not counting. You know, everybody's walking around, oh, congratulations. I'm like, congratulations for what? You ain't gonna, I don't know nothing. Ain't nobody told me anything. Well, the day came and went, and all of a sudden, you know, the announcement was made, and I was not it. I did not get promoted. They promoted somebody else. Now, I'll sit and tell you that, you know, I'm not, you know, disappointed? Absolutely, I'm human. I was disappointed. I was like, but God, why is this? And, you know, immediately I started to kind of question, like, Lord, well, I said, well, that means, now, you know, of course, you know, the human side of you kind of, you know, you get a little upset, you get in your feelings, and, you know, and I'm like, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm praying, but God did this and I did that. And God reminds me again that promotion doesn't come from the east or the west, the north or the south, but it comes from who? Him. So watch this. Why at the same time, my insurance business is growing. I did not lose any clients. You know, so I had that going on. And then all of a sudden, I had this other little thing where I was helping in the tutoring business. And it grew and they started flying me all over the country. I was going back and forth. Some of y'all don't know. I was leaving right here on Sunday morning, getting on a plane, going to Newark, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Going to Newark, you know what I'm saying? I was taking off work. You know, I was like, Lord, how am I going to do this and do that? So I started taking vacation to take care of some of this other work because the work that, watch this, the work, the side work was paying me more than the job. Come on, somebody. The side work. Now, this was after October. We paid that money. The side work was paying me more than my job. Mm-hmm. And I say it like this, because I'm a believer. Y'all know I make no qualms about it. I'm a tither. It was three figure money, mm-hmm, per day. So I was getting on these planes and they were flying me all over the country to do this thing. Because the Bible says like this, it said, your gift would make room for you. Your gift would make room for you. So in my doing my gift, me teaching and helping other people, that people what were reaching out to me. It was at a workshop that I was what? At a workshop I was just doing, talking to. Like I met Sister Sherelle. I was there. I met another young man. And the young man came up to me, a young white man. And he came to me. We immediately connected, found out that he was a believer, found out that his wife was from North Carolina. He came down to visit his wife's parents. We connected. We went out and played golf. Next thing I know, I got a job working for these people. You know, as I call them, side hustles, right? You know, as professors, we could do, you know, side things. So now I got this side business working with him out of New York and New Jersey and all over the place. And to be honest, if I had more time, I could do more. But I'm like, no, I got limited vacation time. So so if I would have walked into that position, then what? God couldn't have blessed me that, because what? I would have to be there all the time. Then watch this. So after this, then God gives me a boss that I can work with. She's a wonderful lady. I love supporting her. And you know what God told me? My job is to make her look good. And I was thinking, well, Lord, this is a little bit of humble pie here. You know, I'm thinking, well, he told me my job is to make her look good. You work, and my father had to remind me, you work as if you are working for the Lord. You work as if you're working for the Lord. And when due season, he'll take care of you. So here I am, I'm working and I'm enjoying the job. And you all, to be honest, I'm having more fun now. It got to a point that my job wasn't even fun no more. And I always tell myself, if it ain't fun, I need to quit. That was the reason I went to school. And what happened is now, you know, my new boss and I have formed such a relationship that we're a team, and God has made the environment not toxic anymore. Come on, somebody. If you ever worked in a toxic working environment, you know what I'm talking about. The environment's not toxic, that we're supporting one another. No, I'm not perfect. No, she's not perfect. But anything I don't know, I mean, if anything she don't know, if I know it, she's going to know it. And then we're going to find it out, and we're going to work this thing together. Now, watch this. Then after all these things are going, she's been protecting me from some things and stuff that have been going on. Watch this. Then on last week, well, week before last, they came to me. And they said, well, we've tried our best to do this, this, and this. But we need you to help us over in this area. This is at my job. And, you know, and I knew, you know, to be honest, because I knew they had the right to do, you know, they asked me to do that and not do anything else. I said, well, you're going to do this and you'll be that. And I asked them, and I told them that, I said, am I being asked or am I being voluntold? Am I being asked to? Because if I'm being asked, that means I have the right to say no. But if I'm being told, that means either I'm doing this or I don't do this job. Learn this, brothers and sisters. Always respect leadership. I don't care who it is. Bad leadership, good leadership. The Bible tells us what? To respect those who have the rule over us. Mm-hmm. So what? I've learned that even in leadership, always respect leadership. Because one day too, you're going to be the leader. And when you want to be the leader, you want them to respect you, whether they see your vision or they understand it. What? notice that in the Bible that God would always bless David. Why was David always blessed? Not just because David had he was a man after God's own heart, but David also did what? David always respected leadership. When Saul was a bad leader, and he was a terrible one, we know this, that he always respected him. Saul tried to kill David. What did David do? He dodged the arrows, and he still protected him. David had the opportunity to kill Saul. And Saul, what did he do? He cut a piece of Saul's cloak and showed him. I had the opportunity, but what? I do not touch God's anointed and do him no harm. Because even at the end of the day, that what? Those who serve, why? Because God allowed them to serve. He said the government is upon his shoulder. So, you know, when Mr. Trump was president, I wasn't always happy about it, but he's who God allowed to serve. So what? I support him. Right now, not always the happiest with Mr. Joe, but if that's who God puts in there, I'm going to what? I'm going to follow through. Amen. So always respect leadership. Even I'm waiting for find a pastor that said that Peter's been disrespectful to them. I not always like their leadership, and I don't always understand, but I never what, even not once disrespect leadership. Because what leadership, God has their hand on them. When God's ready, he'll move it, he'll fix it. And I'm learning that, and I know that's easier said than done. So what happens is they come to me and they say, well, yeah, you're kind of being told to do this. And I'm like, okay. And I already knew. In my heart, and they were like, well, we know you want to be compensated or whatever. And, you know, in my head, I'm like, well, yeah, but in the back of my mind, I was like, if they don't, I know they have the right to say whatever. I do. So I'll let, you know, they asked me, and I said, well, just be fair to me. I said, whatever you think is fair, we'll go with that. And I know most people say you don't leave there like that, but at that point, I already knew, you know, if it was going to happen, that God had it under control. God, if you needed a raise, you was going to take it. And, you know, so I don't hear nothing. And the other day, my boss comes in there and she tells me, she said, by the way, this is your new salary. Double digit thousands. I kid you not. Double digit. God will do it. I'm here to tell you all that if you'll be patient. I know I ain't always the most patient person. And I'm still waiting because I know what he's going to do for the safe house. You know, we've been in this thing, and I was counting the other day, we've been 4 years now. And I kind of told myself, I had a number. I said, Lord, if we ain't here by this time, maybe I missed your call, Lord. But today was a reminder. No, we didn't miss it. That he said, do not despise the day of small beginnings. Do not despise the day of what? Small beginnings. Because it's in these small beginnings that things start. So what? That money I thought I missed, God has already blessed that. And he's giving me the other thing. And I have these things that people just keep me on retainer. I got so much work coming at me, y'all. Pastor ain't been fishing in his boat since December. Y'all know that ain't like me. I'm in there 2-3 times a week. I can't find the time to go because it's just been so much trying to balance that and make sure that I spend time with my family and do all these things. And this has been since then. When? The last time I went. Watch this. Last time I went, y'all know I fished these little tournaments. I went, I've done fairly well. Y'all know I do fairly well. Fished the tournament, and they was like, if you catch the biggest fish, you win $1,000 for every hour. Do y'all not know I went out there the first hour? I don't know how many casts it was, but I was right in the beginning. God allowed me to catch the biggest fish, and I won $1,000. That $100 we sacrificed in October, I got $1,000 right away in the first of December. And then I got the other little gigs, and I got this side hustle. And then I had this one come to me for consulting. And then I had this one come to me for this. Then on top of that, God blessed me. You know, I want a new truck, and he said, not now, but he said, take what you have. And I will make that last. So you know what? God blessed me. And what? We went out there, got our truck painted at a very reasonable price. Truck looked brand spanking new. Drives great. No problem. See, God would what? He would sustain you. If you would listen, use some wisdom, and be obedient. So today, this was about our story. It's the power of your personal story. I encourage you. This is also on the podcast. I encourage you to go back and listen to these podcasts. When you find yourself down, when you find yourself struggling, when you find yourself wondering, you know what, God, I don't get it. I'm going to tell you, go back. It's going to be called The Power of Your Story. And these podcasts are out there and they're free. Download it. Put it on your phone. Download the MP3 because you want to be able to listen to the testimonies of all these wonderful people, Sister Sherelle, Sister Carolyn, Sister Lee, First Lady Ely, Sister Haywood, and Sister Hicks, and Taylor, and the Jordans, and the Will. All these testimonies that come forth today, my testimony. And all of us have been the same thing. What? God has opened up doors. That one act of faithfulness. I didn't ask, you know, $100 for something. It was a scratch. And I get it. But look what God has done. He's faithful. And I want to remind you that he's faithful to the safe house. So on this first day of Black History Month, I want us to talk about the faithfulness of God and have confidence in what he's doing with you in the power of your story. He's kept me. I work around students all the time. I've not gotten anything sick. God has blessed me with places to stay. He's opened up doors for me, financial doors. He's kept me healthy. He's kept our children healthy. My daughter, just this month, we went and got her braces. She got a mouthful of braces paid for in full. Oh, come on, somebody. I remember that was a time I would think, Lord, how would that happen? Especially when she was first born. Lord, she got this going on. We got this going on. That God has opened up doors that can take care of my mother-in-law. She lived with us. I never would have thought all these things. And I too, watch this, Taylor, I too was a school teacher. And look what God has done. 20 years later, what is it, 22 years later? Look at God has done. And I started exactly where you started, as a middle school teacher. So I'm here to tell you, Sherelle, I started as a middle school teacher just like you, that God is faithful, that he can open up doors, he can change things, and he can just, you know, it works in our favor, y'all. Know that it works in our favor. It is now 10:30. God bless you all. I love you all. This has been just, I'm going to download this. As soon as I'm done with it, it'll be out, not this week, because I always do a week later. It'll be out next week. But I'm going to download this. I'm going to get this tape, because sometimes when I get in my pity party, I want to listen to these testimonies. When I feel like I'm ready to quit, I need to listen to these testimonies. When I'm ready to throw in the towel, I need to know that, you know what, God, this little bitty boy over here in Henderson, this one they said wouldn't be, I can't sing a lick. Lord, I said, Lord, we need praise and worship leaders. I can't sing a lick. I'm not the most articulate sometimes. Sometimes I get my tongue tied. I'm like, Lord, I don't hop and, you know, do all this other stuff like some of the other preachers. But he said, "What? I never forget, and I don't think I ever forget, is when Brother Biggers installed us as pastor of the Safe House Church. He said, and y'all, and I quote, I remember I kept telling him, and he's a mentor of mine. God's just blessed us, and he's blessing him. And I kept telling him, I said, you know what? You know, we independent church. We, you know, we ain't hooked up with this one, and we want to hook up that. You know, we can't find a way to connect with. And he said, you know, watch this. You are a tribe. You're your own tribe. You're a unique tribe. And that's why you can't just connect with anybody, because God has made you what? To start this tribe. And it's not that we better than anybody else or nothing like that. But, you know, Bible said, what? Don't be unequally yoked, you know, with non-believers. And it's not that, you know, like I said, no, we're not. But we boast in the Lord. And he's doing something different with the Safe House. He's doing something different with the Safe House. Hear me, he's doing something different with the Safe House. As I often tell you all, the Safe House is the place where leaders send their leaders to train. The Safe House is the place where leaders send their leaders to train. Why? Because we don't have nothing but a house full of leaders. God is blessed. It's rare that you have a congregation where everybody got a college degree. God has blessed us with some wonderful folk, smart folk, folk who are well-learned. These folk ain't dummy. These folk can Google stuff. I tell my people all the time. I said, I know I can't pull the wind over y'all, because y'all read y'all Bible. Y'all understand things. You buy stuff. You got commentaries. See, you know, God ain't, you know, he didn't give us a bunch of poor folk. I know some people think to be holy mean that you got to be poor. No. My people drive great cars. Some got Lexuses, Audis, all this. Drive far better than I do. And you know what? I'm not jealous. I'm grateful, because I know God is doing it. And I know they got it the right way. I know some of the churches where the pastor got the best ride in the lot. No, y'all come to Safe House. Pastor, that your car? Nope. They're the kind of people God has blessed us with. Knowledge, blessing. God has allowed, you know, Brother Jordan saved me thousands of dollars. I didn't even know. He said, Pastor, you need to go look at your mortgage, because they didn't change the rates. So I said, they don't do that at my bank. He said, yes, they do. Called, found out. He was exactly right. Saved us thousands of dollars. Dropped $200-$300 off my own mortgage. By listening to what? To my members. You don't know it all. I don't know it all. But together, the Bible said, iron sharpens iron. And we knock pieces off each other. And I tell you what, if we hang in there, y'all, we're going to get there. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. God bless you all. Love you all. Hey, that's...